Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am back. It was a fun week. Or so I've been told. I would not know. I'm William Walter, the Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And we have a full studio today, everyone. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Luke Mathers, Executive Producer here at Civic Media. Glad to have you back, Will. You sound like you're dragging a little bit. So, callers, we need you to inject a little livelihood into today's show because Will is dragging. Took the red eye back.
I'm trying to bring the energy, Luke. It's just not there.
All of that energy left in the desert. You know, too many bets on red, I would imagine. Is that what you were betting on the roulette table? Or are you, you put money down on green?
I don't put money down. No,
oh, okay, sure.
I just didn't gamble.
Yeah. Allegedly, no gambling took place. Okay.
I'm that guy who took like a $5 bill down and was like, all right, I'm going to be reasonable. I'm going to set my expectations low. And then like 40 seconds later, it's all gone. All right, that was fun, everybody. Let's pack it up and head home.
That was your gambling experience. I do enjoy the penny slots over on Fremont Street because you can get a beer or two while you're just playing the penny slots. If you lose a little bit, so what? You lost a couple of pennies. Big deal. But a little shocked, Will, to hear that you did not participate in the gambling.
You clearly do not know me very well, Luke. We have known each other for a long, long time, and I have discussed my non-affinity for that type of entertainment.
You could say that, but then when you see the roulette table, come on, it draws you in. All of those shiny slot machines, come on.
Years of video games, Luke, years of video games. The shiny lights, that doesn't get to me anymore, man.
Folks, if you want to join us here on Town Call today, 844-967-2789, you can call or text. And we are joined by Dane County Supervisor Annalise Eicher, an all-around excellent person. Annalise, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Luke. Thanks for having me.
And you have all the energy because you have a post-concert glow. The day after a concert, I feel like, is the opposite of a trip to the desert where Will was these past couple days.
For work.
You keep putting the preface. Like, you don't need to let anybody know you were in the desert.
So Will, I'll agree. I only ever go to Vegas for work. And I get out as soon as possible. I'm not one for the desert, but yeah, I do have that post-concert glow. I and a ton of folks from Madison were at Bree Stevens last night for the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary tour.
I caught a little bit as I was driving by because I wrapped up volleyball up there near the square. And the last two Wednesdays now, there have been some pretty big concerts going on at Bree Stevens, Weezer, and Modest Mouse, I believe, last week, and then the Doobie Brothers this week.
And I think there's another big one next week, too.
The post-concert traffic's not super fun, so I'm going to have to try to avoid it and go.
That sounds like a good problem to have, though. Oh, we have so many great concerts. I just can't get around the town anymore. Like, listen to this guy. What is up with
between that and the construction, Will? It's difficult, okay? But we are joined by Annalise today because a topic that got a little bit of good news and bad news last week, the Dane County Board voting to make Dane County a sanctuary for trans and non-binary residents here in our county. And at the same time, interesting how these meetings happened really, really early in the morning. Thursday night was a long work day for a lot of folks here in Dane County and in Madison. While the Dane County Board was doing that, the GOP-led Joint Finance Committee put in a provision to prevent trans and non-binary individuals from using Medicaid coverage or Badger Care for gender-affirming care here in Wisconsin. So two very different sides of the same coin, Annalise, yes. And wanted to just get your take on the Dane County Board voting on that and making the county the first in the nation, as far as I'm aware, to have those protections at the county level.
Yeah, it was a long night on Thursday, and but I think it was also really awesome. This was a resolution that some of my colleagues brought forward. Given the sheer number of attacks and legislation that we have seen on trans and non-binary folks across the country, including here in Wisconsin, we felt and they felt that this was a necessary step that we could take. That we could, have this discussion, put forth this legislation and work to, you know, save lives and here in Dane County. And so I'm incredibly grateful to my colleagues, primarily Rick Rose, who represents the eastern part of Madison and part of the city of Sun Prairie. And he's new to the board this year, but did an incredible job working on this resolution. But, you know, it was a long night in part two, because we had a ton of folks come out and support and say, mm-hmm. hey, this is something that's going to save lives. This is something that reflects our values as a community. This is something that, you know, we need and we want here. But we also heard from a lot of folks who were opposed to making Dane County a sanctuary and were unfortunately spewing hateful rhetoric about trans and non-binary, and also I think, you know, all members of the LGBT community. So it was really, it was a really trying night. Mm-hmm. It was certainly wonderful to have that pass, but it was also really disheartening to sit through that rhetoric. You know, which, again, First Amendment, they come to our meetings, they, you know, can talk.
They can participate.
They can participate. Yeah. But it was hard to sit through at times. But yeah,
referencing what was passed by the Dane County Board, reading from a piece over at the Cap Times, the quote imposes, if the state of Wisconsin were to pass a law that, quote, imposes criminal or civil punishments, fines, or professional sanctions on any person or organization that seeks, provides, receives, or helps someone receive gender-affirming care, the board would ask the Dane County Sheriff's Office to make enforcement its lowest priority. So that was the resolution passed early Friday morning last week. Those are the details of what was passed. And it is interesting to hear, Annalise, that there was participation on and public comments on both sides of this. I don't know if there was as much kind of at least public input that went into the Joint Finance Committee's decision around the same time.
Yes.
Very early on Friday morning. It was kind of something that
interesting
was
interesting juxtaposition, Luke.
Yes.
Resolutions versus legal doctrine. Whether or not the elected officials listen to us in one situation versus the other.
And my understanding, there's several members of the Dane County Board that are also representatives in the legislature. To the best of my recollection, I don't know if they are also on the Joint Finance Committee. But
no, none of those folks are on the Joint Finance Committee, but they are members of the legislature, Democrats.
So was there any takeaway from those colleagues of yours on the county board that are also representatives in the legislature that were participating in the county's public hearing surrounding this and taking part in passing this first in the nation resolution? Did they share their comments on seeing around that same time what was being passed by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, and it didn't come from one of those folks, but one of the supervisors had actually stood up during our discussion portion of it and said, hey, if anyone's wondering why we really need this here in Dane County, the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee just voted to not allow gender-affirming care to be covered by Medicaid and Badger Care. So it was literally during our meeting, mm-hmm. during our discussion, that the Joint Finance Committee was making that decision. I think just, again, as that supervisor said, further proving the necessity of a resolution like this in Dane County.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, talking about the dueling resolutions or provisions that were included last week. And I think it's fascinating to see how the circumstances that went into, because I'm not a huge fan of the middle of the night votes, but I think there's two.
I'm not either, as someone who's had to take them, also not a fan.
Right. As you said, Thursday became a very long day. I think it's also important to point out, though, the circumstances on why they got to be so late night votes for each body. The Dane County Board, roughly how many hours of testimony went into that committee hearing that took place? Probably, I want to say, a start time around 7 p.m. would be my guess, but you could fill us in on when it started.
Yeah, we started our meeting at 7. I think we got to this resolution about 8 o'clock, heard testimony for a couple of hours, and I think took the vote of the board shortly before 1 a.m.
Okay, and then the opposite of that. The Joint Finance Committee scheduled to meet that day, I believe at 1 p.m. I could have that off, but it kept getting pushed back. You know, there was behind closed door meetings that just kept occurring, and then all of a sudden, oh no, there's no other choice. The vote has to be taken now here in the middle of the night. We're going to vote on a $3.1 billion aspect of the budget for now around the same time, 1 a.m, 2 a.m. yeah, in the morning. And so those are very different reasons. One, public input, and then the others just seems to be procedural delays on what caused these middle of the night votes.
Yeah, I mean, procedural delays so that they can, you know, do really unpopular things in the middle of the night and, you know, hope that they don't get as much coverage and that folks aren't paying attention. But folks are paying attention, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate that we're sort of used to the Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature acting this way, continuing to push meetings back later and later and later, and then taking votes in the middle of the night. It's not the right way to do government. That's for sure.
It's a strategy to wear individuals out, it seems. You have to sit there listening to public testimony because that's your job. Who knows what's going on behind closed doors? Could they be negotiating? Sure. Could they be napping on a couch? I don't know. I'm not there.
Folks, we want to hear your thoughts on the subject. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to participate, you can call or text 844-96-PARTY. Up first this Thursday afternoon, we got Mark from Prairie to Stack calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, it seems to me that you got all these people that are scared of people that are different. And it turned me back to the old 1970, I think it was, Kris Kristofferson had a song, the laws for protection of the people. And, you know, the punchline of it is scaring decent folks like you and me, no siree. And maybe you guys are not familiar with that song, you know, but I can remember hearing it. I think my dad actually had an LP of that Kris Kristofferson album.
I am not familiar, Mark, so I'm not familiar with the song. Annalise, yeah, Will, either of you?
I know the song, but I don't know it well.
Okay.
Yeah, it just goes on to say that, it closes out with, because laws is for the protection of the people, rules are rules any fool can see. We don't need no riddle speaking prophets, scaring decent folks like you and me. And
you got the song memorized, Mark.
Well, no, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay, reading off the lyrics. Gotcha. I was like, wow, that's one heck of a memory. If you're just on the spot, just sharing the lyrics.
The song is literally called The Laws for Protection of the People. So thanks, thank you, Mark, for contributing. We got a wonderful rest of the show coming up. This is Town Call on a Thursday, June 22nd, opening day of Summerfest. We'll be right back after the break.
No riddle-speaking prophets, scaring decent folks like you and me. No siree.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today, we are talking late night or early morning, I guess, depending on your perspective, votes. We're talking the Wisconsin legislature. We're talking the Dane County Board of Supervisors. We're talking whatever you would like to talk. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Joined today by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor. And getting back to the conversation we had a little bit before the break, something that I kind of wanted to note regarding the Cap Times article that states the Dane County Board voted overwhelmingly to make the county a sanctuary. I wanted to put raw numbers behind that because overwhelmingly can mean something different to anybody who hears it. This was not like a, you know, 75% of the vote, which would be overwhelming for a statewide election, right? This was 25-1. That's 96%. Of the vote in favor of this resolution. This is not, a lot of people supported it. This was near unanimous consent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, it was.
And I think this, it's not doing justice to how important a lot of the county board supervisors recognize this issue to be, to not note how directly impactful that large of a percentage of your elected officials siding with something is. Could you talk about a little bit behind the scenes, the conversations that were had as to why this was pushed right now? You know, we noted as well in the article, you gave a shout out to County Supervisor Rick Rose earlier in the episode, who introduced this resolution at the beginning of June to coincide with the beginning of Pride Month, as he was citing increasing concern that state's Republican leaders would block funding for or access to transgender-specific healthcare, excuse me. And we are still in Pride Month, and the GOP legislature is still pushing this type of agenda.
They are. I think we're still in Pride Month, but I think legislation like this would be appropriate in any month. This is about saving lives. This is about protecting vulnerable populations. This is about loving and supporting other human beings and their experience in this world. That overwhelming vote, that near unanimous vote, really is important. And, you know, I think the Dane County Board, our conversations around this, they are supportive. I mean, this was not hard legislation for us to say yes to, which I think says a lot about the character of the folks that represent us in Dane County. And I think also was part of what made it so hard to sit through such vitriol on Thursday night, Friday morning. I think, Pride Month or not, this is something that we would have done. Super grateful to Rick Rose for bringing this forward.
And it's important, as you pointed out, that this is a step that the county board can take because of the attacks that the trans and non-binary community is facing. Mm-hmm. And it seems like for the Joint Finance Committee to include a provision in the upcoming two-year budget in the middle of the night that would prevent any Wisconsin resident seeking gender-affirming care that is covered by Medicaid to not be able to receive that coverage, it's already protected. There was a 2019 ruling, and this is reading from a piece by Molly Beck over at the Journal Sentinel, that the move, speaking of the JFC vote last week, comes 4 years after a federal judge said Wisconsin health officials could no longer categorically deny Medicaid coverage for medically necessary gender-confirming surgery, a practice a federal judge found violated patients' civil rights and federal healthcare law. So there's already judicial precedent for Medicaid coverage to be acceptable when it comes to this life-saving care. And so for this to be added into a budget, it feels like there is more of a fight attempting to be picked than actually, a budgetary advancement of a goal.
It's not a budgetary thing. It's not a policy thing. At this point, it is it's simply being mean. And it is targeting an already vulnerable group of people who we know gender-affirming care is life-saving. Gender-affirming care is healthcare. It's healthcare. Like you and I, everybody receives gender-affirming healthcare. It's completely unnecessary for the state legislature to do this. And they're doing it to try to stoke a fight that unfortunately they can't win and they won't win. But it's unfortunate that that's the path that they've chosen to go. But it's also, I think, for them and seeing how they've, reacted to any number of groups of populations over the last, decades, multiple, plural, this is par for them. This is on par for them.
Folks, you're listening.
You noted.
Oop, go ahead, Luke.
I was going to note that, you talked about that it's being mean. They're just doing it kind of out of spite. And I can't help but think back to a story we covered within the past couple of weeks, the GOP's attempt to reduce the UW-Madison budget by $32 million, the exact amount of money that was being spent on DEI. So they're not, they're not going to force you to get rid of it. They're just going to say, if you want your budget to remain stable elsewhere, we just so happen to coincidentally remove the exact amount of money required for these projects that we don't like because, We just don't. Well, and we're going to enforce speaker, this upon you.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, since you've been gone in the desert, Will, noted that that is the number one priority in his eyes, is fighting DEI here in Wisconsin. That was a provision that he talked about strongly at last weekend's Republican statewide convention held in La Crosse. And that is his, according to what he spoke at the state party convention, his top priority in fighting is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, training and offices on UW campuses and I guess everywhere else, which is an interesting juxtaposition as well, because that is the state's stance. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the most powerful Republican elected official here in the state of Wisconsin. But at the national level, the RNC put DEI provisions into their contract with the city of Milwaukee for the city to host the 2024 Republican National Convention next year. And so,
do as I say, not as I do.
It's a very interesting juxtaposition that if the top priority for the Assembly Speaker is to eliminate DEI, at the same time that the Republican National Committee is putting that into their contract with the city of Milwaukee. So there is.
Luke, did anybody tell the Snowbirds that Robin Voss has moved on to a new priority? Because I thought that was his. I thought that was his like overarching goal, was to get Snowbirds to stay in Wisconsin. He's been hyping that up for years, and now he's just moved on.
We're going to get a vote on the UW system budget and a tax cut potentially in the assembly later today, Will. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you want to contribute to today's edition, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. And Annalise, another aspect of healthcare that is up in the air right now in Wisconsin. There's lawsuits surrounding it. But because of about 1 year ago, the one-year anniversary taking place this Saturday of the Dobbs decision to overturn nearly 50 years of legal precedent in Roe v. Wade, is coming up. That anniversary, we are going to see continuation around the lawsuit. But speaking of gender-affirming care as healthcare, abortion services for Wisconsin residents, still questionable. We're seeing stories now that there are residents here at UW Medical School that have to now travel to Illinois or other states to be able to even receive OBGYN training because the schools do not want to go into a questionable gray legal area with the uncertainty that surrounds abortion here in Wisconsin right now. Your thoughts on the state of where we are right now in Wisconsin 1 year after the Dobbs decision?
Yeah, it's really hard to believe that was about a year ago that we were seeing, folks literally preparing to lose fundamental rights to their bodies and to healthcare. Abortion is healthcare, and it is something that, the entirety of Roe have had access to in Wisconsin. You know, we now know that pregnant people have to travel across state lines to receive health care, to receive abortion care. And we know that doctors and nurses in Wisconsin are also traveling across state lines to help provide care to the influx of people who are, say, traveling to Illinois for abortion care. You're right on about the medical students. You know, they can't receive the type of training that they need to complete their medical training here in Wisconsin because of the uncertainty around abortion in Wisconsin. So we know, Attorney General Josh Gaul has brought a lawsuit challenging the 1849 ban on abortion in Wisconsin that is currently in Dane County Court. There was a hearing back in May 4th. I remember because it was Star Wars Day.
I was going to say May the 4th but, be with you.
Yes, and also with you. We're really, I think, waiting to see that decision from the appeal that was happening in the Dane County Court. And then, I think most of us are waiting to see what happens. When does this go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? And when do we get the questions answered about what is the state of abortion? Like, are we legally allowed to make decisions for ourselves and our bodies and our families and our futures? And it remains really scary. for a number of our populations, you know, to receive healthcare. And I know that we've heard stories of, you know, folks who are waiting longer to even receive care for a miscarriage because they're afraid of what might happen. And so it's really creating a dangerous situation for healthcare in Wisconsin. And, you know, there is that legal path. There is that 1849 law that they're challenging with lawsuits. But our legislature could act. There is a Restore Roe Act that was introduced in the state legislature that would restore abortion access in Wisconsin, which would allow organizations like Planned Parenthood and Affiliated Medical Services to open their doors and begin providing that necessary healthcare service again. But our Wisconsin legislature does not want to act. Republicans do not want to take action on that issue. And they're trying to sidestep it in any number of ways that are just continuing to harm, to cause harm and to deny healthcare to, you know, half of our state.
Yeah.
For a state that's bleeding young, talented individuals in the workforce, too, that's a very interesting decision to make to force someone who is training to become a doctor to protect their community and the health of their people in their neighborhoods are being forced to leave the state that they want to live in because they cannot literally be trained in their area of expertise.
Yeah, they can't be trained. I mean, these are, you know, I've talked to some medical students who are, you know, born and raised Wisconsinites who've done their schooling here. They want to practice medicine here. You know, we already have a problem with retaining young people in Wisconsin for medical care, even in, you know, rural areas. And we have folks who want to stay, but because of the inaction by the state legislature and the actions by, you know, the Supreme Court and the United States and denying rights, you know, we have folks who are leaving, you know, and it's going to start affecting other industries, too. I mean, folks want to live and move places that support their support reproductive freedom. And if we're a state that does not support reproductive freedom, we're going to suffer for it.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. That's Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, all-around terrific human being. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. If you want to participate in today's Town Call, give us a call, 844-967-2789. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you'd like us to cover here on Town Call, you can also send us an email, real simple, towncall, TOWNCALL, at civicmedia.us. We'll take those suggestions for future editions of Town Call. You can email us, towncall@civicmedia.us.
Or hit us up on Twitter at towncallwi. If you have a suggestion for a best Wisconsin headline of the week, I am calling on you right now. Tomorrow is Friday. Let's hear those headlines. I was in the desert. I'm going to be a little bit behind, Luke. I am expecting you to carry the show. I have carried the last 2 weeks, despite what Aaron may have voted on. I'm going to claim victory. So let's get some good headlines in here.
Are you still shouting "Stop the Steal"? Is that all you were talking about? Is that why you were in Arizona? Oh, excuse me, Las Vegas.
I was in Nevada, but
so close to Arizona. So close.
It was a free and fair election, by all accounts.
I didn't know where in the desert you went. You allegedly said Vegas. Folks, we got one more segment left of the day. 844-967-2789. We're gonna be right back.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We have a full studio today. We are joined by Annalise Eicher, of course, Luke Mathers, and we got Aaron on the board. We're talking late night votes. We're talking Wisconsin conservative legislature, and we are talking everything that has to do with healthcare, particularly in the state of Wisconsin. And Annalise, we noted right before the break, Aaron was clutch enough to come up with the conversation that had happened a little bit earlier regarding harassment in certain terms and phrases that have been kind of stolen in the sense that everybody wants to play the victim, right? Victimhood is a very popular concept, particularly for the oppressors, so that they are unable to look in the mirror and recognize the impact that they have on society. And Aaron noted a tweet from Elon Musk, the owner of Twitter, the second richest man in the world, who said repeated targeted harassment against any account will cause the harassing accounts to receive at minimum temporary suspensions. The words cis or cisgender are considered slurs on the platform. We were joking earlier about the comparisons that we've seen on media networks in the past where generally white individuals will say something along the lines of, oh, X is equal to the N-word. And then the counter to that is, well, then say it. You know, you're confident enough to say this word, cis or cisgender in this situation, but you refuse to say the N-word. Why are reactionaries kind of falling into this mindset? How are we able to break this at the local level? Because this is getting absurd. The culture war is being pushed to the nth degree, and I have no idea where this is going to take us.
That is a super excellent question. And I don't know that like they even know where they're going with it, right? It seems like there's a new thing for them, you know, anything that's different or, you know, not super, you know, heteronormative and Christian, that's different. And for some people, different is scary and uncomfortable. And then they react negatively and seek to, you know, ban words and spew hate. So, you know, I think what do we do to combat that is, I mean, we continue to talk about it. We continue to call it out. We continue to, you know, work to pass legislation at the local level like we have in here in Dane County, you know, protecting certain individuals. And, you know, we have to keep showing up and doing the work. And it's not on, you know, thinking specifically about, you know, Elon Musk banning cis or cisgender. I'm literally about to go on my Twitter and tweet about that and use those words. But the, you know, it's not on our trans and non-binary friends and family to, you know, to call that out and defend themselves. It's on all of us to do that work. You know, I think it's similar to the discussions that we've, you know, been having in this country about race. It is not on Black and brown people to educate us and to help, you know, make things okay. That is also, it is on us to do that work. And so, you know, I think that's the answer, is to continue educating ourselves, to continue calling things out, to continue continue to educate yourself. There are a ton of resources for folks to learn. But that's how we combat this. Cause they're going to keep finding something. They're going to keep, you know, targeting someone or some group of people that's different. And it's going to keep going, and we have to keep doing the work.
And I think it's important for individuals that aren't familiar. Elon Musk has a child that it identifies as transgender.
Yes.
And so that dynamic, I think, also needs to be discussed a little bit more, because it seems to be that the fear or the uncertainty of what's going on in our own individual lives when it comes to the relationships that we have with individuals in the trans or non-binary community, there are some people that are digging their heels in. There are Elon Musk is going to, he purchased a platform that he now oversees, and he's going to say the exact opposite and do this reactionary thing of, well, if you use cis now, that is a slur and it will be taken down or muted or tampered
down.
He's
Michael Scott saying this is a hate crime, and then Stanley's like, that's not a hate crime, Michael, and he's like, well, I hated it. Like, that's what Elon's doing at this point. And I think what's kind of interesting, and this part I agree with, I could see him making the argument that it's not about what words are used, it's about the repeated targeted harassment. So hypothetically, if, you know, a large subset of the Twitter population determined that William was a slur and they used it hatefully or aggressively, he would make that same argument. But I don't think he would.
No.
He can make that argument today, but he would never make that argument if it wasn't something that didn't already agree with his preconceived worldview.
Absolutely. And I cannot imagine a world in which somebody is targeted and, like, a trans person is targeted and dead named and only referred to by the wrong pronouns for them on purpose. And then those people committing those acts do not get suspended. Like, there's no way that he would enforce that kind of thing.
He wouldn't, mm-hmm. and he hasn't.
Well, the only reason that I think anyone would believe that cisgender is a slur are the individuals that use trans as a slur or anything to be able to identify the transgender community as a slur. And so it is...
So it's just projection.
It is.
I use this phrase as a slur, so you must be using the counter as a slur.
That would be my take on it. That is the read that I get from individuals that get upset with the term cis or cisgender. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. One final question for you, Annalise. As Will pointed out, it's important to at the local level be able to do more when it comes to having these conversations. Is what Dane County, the Dane County Board did last week, is that a blueprint? Is that something that we could see replicated in other counties here in Wisconsin or around the nation? Or how else can... Because first in the nation, that's a pretty big deal. Can you tell us a little bit more about any relationships the county board may be having with fellow county boards around the state in doing other protections like this?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got, I think as supervisors, you know, we've got relationships with folks around the state. We've all got relationships with different, you know, county elected officials across the country. You know, there's some pretty incredible national networks. And this, you know, legislation is absolutely something that other counties and even municipalities can take and make their own so that it fits their community and fits, you know, their statutes and their, you know, their regulations. So, you know, I think if folks are interested, that legislation's out there. That link is online. Contact, you know, your Dane County Board supervisor. You know, if folks across the state are listening and are interested in that and they want to, you know, say, hey, how can I help, reach out to some of us on the Dane County Board. We would be happy to help help set folks up in other counties and other municipalities with that.
And where can we find you, Annalise? Give a shout out.
Oh, on the internet, the Dane County Board website. It's countyofdane.com.
There we go.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Annalise. This is Town Call. We got Wisconsin headlines coming tomorrow. Please give us a call, 844-967-2789, to share the best one you're able to find. I'm William Walter. He's Luke Mathers. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow, party people.
Talk to y'all then.